Coming up on this episode of Club Scene Chat Room, we chat all about growing up as shy kids, learning to build confidence, and how this all intersects with the art of adulting. This is episode 43.
And welcome back to Club Scene Chat Room, the podcast by two creators that has nothing to do with clubbing of the violent or party kind.
Are you okay? Yeah, okay, keep going.
I'm Joelle, but I'll be entering the chat room as type me up.
Type me
Type me up.
And I'm Rochelle, but I will be entering the chat room as type me down.
Oh, that kind of sounds sad.
That was like anyway. Your chat room name, but in a minor key. Anyway, continue.
So to start off, Rochelle and I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we are working, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Our work could not exist without their continued connection and contribution to our land, water, and community. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and extend our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. Sovereignty was never ceded. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. We would also like to extend our respects to all First Nations communities around the world whose land on which our work and this podcast may be enjoyed upon. Rochelle and I, we used to be shyer in our days. we used to be a lot more, well, after talking about it, we used to be a lot more shy than we are now. So today we're going to like just delve into our experiences of growing up as shy people and see what helped us break out of that. But also what still currently makes our nerves tremble. So to start off, we'll do a little please react segment, which you might have noticed from the last time we did. We are now using emojis rather than images, words, and feelings. So, Rochelle, what is the first emoji that comes to mind when you think of this topic? Please react.
The one where the eyes are like scrunched in and then the mouth is like a zigzag. That one.
Oh, yeah.
What about you, Joe? What's the first emoji that comes to mind when you think of this topic? Please react.
I don't know. This is the first one that comes to mind. And it's the monkey that's covering its eyes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, even though I always use that to be like, not for necessarily being shy, but that's what came to mind.
Yeah. Hey, we said no elaboration.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, I've dug myself a hole.
Yeah, I just like, as soon as you started that sentence, I was like, that's a preface to an elaboration. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I love you.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Also for the video viewers, I apologize if the Joelle's feed is very pixelated. It just do be kind of like that right now. Wait.
Yeah. Technical difficulties.
Welcome back to Technical Difficulties Podcast. Also, do you like our blurred background? Sorry, I just interrupted you as soon as you started speaking.
Oh, I should put mine on.
Oh, yeah. See, I couldn't tell if yours was on or not.
Oh, it is now.
Oh, yeah. I love this filter so much. Sometimes
it's a bit of a lull. It reminds us of portrait mode.
Yeah.
On, like, phone cameras. Mm-hmm. When it just, like, but, like, extreme portrait mode.
Sometimes it thinks that spike is a part of my shoulder. Sometimes not.
So let's jump straight in. Rochelle.
Hi.
Do you consider yourself to be shy?
I think no. I think generally as a person, no. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. I'll elaborate later. Something we're learning to do. What about you, Joelle? Do you consider yourself to be shy?
I want to say yes, because if anyone who's like knows me or like met me, every time I meet some people, I'm like shy for the first like period to long period, to depending on how well we know each other. But yeah, I think that's definitely like evolved and changed, and it also always depends on who I'm with as well. Like if I'm with people I'm comfortable with, then I'm most likely to be more comfortable. but I definitely, I do get nervous meeting people, I guess. So I would say yes. And I struggle getting like words out in general and stuff. So yeah. But, yeah, I guess. So you said, Rochelle, that you were shy when you were younger, right?
Yeah, for sure.
In what way were you shy?
Yeah, just like afraid to talk to new people. Yeah, particularly like adults.
Mm.
And yeah, just would rather be like quiet in a lot of situations. Just would rather like not say anything. I'm going to look up what the definition of shyness is. Mm.
You're one of those people that, I mean, I know I definitely was. It's like when your parents ask you to go inside a store to like pick something up and you like don't want to confront the shop person.
Oh, 100%. I would never like talk to, people, cashiers, any other human.
I find that so interesting because like, I had that too. And it's just like it's such a different mindset when you're younger. It's just like, what do we think is going to happen to us?
Yeah, it's like just afraid to talk to like anyone new, any adult, because it's like, I think for me, like, I was afraid that I would like say the wrong thing and like get like laughed at.
Yeah.
By adults.
Yeah.
Like they think, oh, like a stupid little kid. Yeah. Like definitely, like really judged. Because I feel like sometimes, as a kid, it's like, you say something and then parents think it's so funny or adults think it's so funny that you don't know something or that you do something in such a silly way because you're a kid and it's like, oh. And it's like such a uncomfortable, like embarrassing feeling that you never want to like experience that. And so if you're in a situation where you can have like an adult do something for you, like ask for something, then you would like rather have that. Yeah, I never like would ask for stuff myself. Yeah, like with your example, like if we were in like some sort of shop and we were looking for something in particular, I would never ask. And that lasted for a long while, like as a teen as well.
Yeah. Mm. Do you think you were like aware of it at the time that you were like a shy person? Like, did you feel like it was something that you like needed to break out of?
Yeah, I feel like at the time I thought it was like immaturity and I do attribute it to immaturity, but I feel like it is more shyness than that because there are a lot of children who grow up being like not shy, being unafraid to like ask for things. So yeah, wait, what was the question again?
Were you like aware that you were so shy or felt like you needed to like
I don't know if I felt like I needed to break out of it, but I was aware that I was shy. Like I'm like was the kind of kid like hiding behind like a parent's leg, you know, that like image.
So for me, I feel like I was like 100% aware that I was like a shy person, but I think I believed that you were either shy or you weren't. Like I didn't think it was something that you were like you can break out of or anything. I think I was just like, I'm a shy person and this is just like who I am. So I never like, obviously I always like dreamed of being like more confident and stuff like that, but I never like aspired to it or like thought that it was something I was like capable of, if that makes sense.
I feel that. Yeah, there is sort of this like concept that people are either shy or not shy, sort of like either extroverted or introverted, rather than it being like a spectrum of qualities, I guess.
That's actually a good question. Do you consider yourself an extroverted or an introverted person?
Ooh, that's such a good question. I think we've talked about this on the podcast. I'm like definitely in between. Because I get my energy both from like being by myself and recovering and from other people. I get really energized from being around other people. And then sometimes I get really energized from being by myself and not, and like, I don't want to be around people. So yeah, I really feel like I'm kind of in between. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, it's actually interesting. Yeah. I always get like, my immediate reaction is to say introverted, but I'm not the like biggest fan of like being alone. Like I'm not like, I don't like to just be by myself, but I also don't like being like super outy and super public, you know what I mean? Like I like a good like group of friends that I know and I'm comfortable with. Like I'm not extroverted in the way that I'm just gonna like walk up to someone in the street and be like, hey, do you want to hang out? Like, you know what I mean? That's a thing, but like even just like at social events and stuff, I guess I'm shy and I find it hard to interact with people I don't know. And I feel like when I see, I think of extroverted people, that's what I see. Like, I feel like they're not really afraid, kind of like Nav, like you can like speak to anyone and not really feel uncomfortable. Whereas like for me, that's like, yeah, which I don't even know what the exact definition of the two terms are, but yeah, I guess I'm somewhere in between as well then.
Let's do some definitions real quick. Okay, shyness. So shy, adjective. Nervous or timid in the company of other people. Okay, the dictionary, the definition for introvert literally says noun, a shy, reticent person. So shy is in the definition. Yeah, I think like there was all this thing about like being that introversion is more about getting energy and enjoying your time more like to yourselves and in solitude, like that's how you recharge. And then extroverts are more outspoken and like get the energy from being with other people. But
yeah, see, in that sense, I feel like I'm definitely more of an extrovert.
Yeah, I agree with that. The definition is of extrovert is an outgoing, socially confident person.
So then I'm like,
No. Yeah, it's like you get your energy from being around people, but you're not like an outgoing, socially confident person.
Yeah.
So what are we
you're
going
to do? You're an extrovert, but you're not an extrovert.
Like, part of you could sit with us, but another part of you couldn't sit with us.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, it's evolved though. I've always definitely preferred being with people than without. Although I do have my days where I'm like, oh my God, recently, but like, I would just be like, yeah, I just like want a night at home by myself. Introvert, extrovert,
doesn't matter. You said you thought like, oh, you were either shy or not shy. Did you feel like you wanted to not be shy? Like that was something you wanted to break out of?
Yes, but I don't think I thought I could. Like, I don't think the concept of growth, now that I think about it, I don't think that was something that was in my mind where it's like, if I work hard at this, like, I'm going to become confident, you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't something that I could visualize and manifest that would help me break out of my timidness. Whereas, like, in general, it's just like, oh, like, go do some drama classes or, like, go, like, put yourself in that kind of fear position. Like, I don't think that was something that I was like, I need to do that to stop being shy, you know what I mean? Even though that probably would have helped me. And I think they're the kind of things that did help me as well. But, yeah, it didn't seem like a concept to me. Yeah. Did you feel like that for you? Because you were saying that, that, like, yeah, what helped you break through your shyness? I feel like we're going to say the word shy so many times.
Hi, welcome back to Shy Podcast. I guess like, I mean, I'm not an expert in the natures of humanity, but I guess a big part of like becoming less shy is building confidence, right? Like, I think shyness is sort of like a preservation thing of like, you know, not wanting to, like I said, for me, like coming from a place of not wanting to be like made fun of for saying something wrong or doing something silly. I think it's like to grow from that point, it requires like sort of going through experiences that help you understand that like not that much is at stake by doing something silly and building your confidence in yourself as well. So that if you do feel embarrassed about something, you're able to bounce back and recover. So there's like two parts. It's like building your confidence and then also just like understanding like everyone makes mistakes or understanding the scope, putting perspective to the scope and the stakes that you feel like are put on social situations. And also it doesn't like not everyone has to become like an outgoing person. Like you don't have to not be shy, you know? I mean, I think just anytime you feel like you're doing well in something, that builds your confidence. So like for me, doing well in school and like if I got an award, that like gives you a label to be like, oh, I'm good at this. Like someone has decided I'm good at this. So I feel like I'm good at something. So I feel more confident. So I feel like I'm more able to like do things. The realm of like actions that I feel like I can take in that field are like now suddenly stretched to be greater. So there's that. I feel like coming from, I mean, like, everything I can think of is, like, at school. It's, like, getting to know people at my school as well, like, made me more confident, you know? Mm. And then going from, like, moving to Singapore to go to high school, I started fresh at this new school. Mm. And I feel like this was an opportunity for me to start fresh and just be whoever I wanted to be as a 14-year-old, 13-year-old. And... yeah, I think I was able to sort of take, like, things that I would observe about people and the way people behave to just realize, oh, like, everyone does, like, goofy things. And the people that I admire the most are, like, people who are unafraid to not do the things that they feel like they're supposed to do just because they feel like they're supposed to. Or, like, I remember, for example, like, I don't know if this contributes to, like, confidence. Oh no, yeah, well, I just remember I have this memory of thinking, like, there was, like, one of the girls in, like, the popular group, quote, whatever. It was kind of common for, like, girls to, like, roll up the waistband of their skirt so that the hemline was higher, right? Which looked cute, you know. There are, you know, a lot of issues we can go to from there, but anyway. And then I remember there was this one girl in, like, the popular group who wouldn't do that. And that doesn't necessarily mean anything, like, wear your skirt however you want, you know. Mm. But, yeah, I just remembered it was, like, oh, you, like, admire people who, like, just do what they want to do and not do things just because everyone else is doing it. Mm. So that's kind of, like, what I took away from that. And I was, like, oh, like, people would feel the same for me. Like, if I just do what I want to do, genuinely trying to just be a good person and a nice person, that's what people admire. And I feel like that's what I took through as I was, like, figuring out who I wanted to be in high school. Like, you know, there's this big thing about, like, popularity and stuff. And it's, like, I wanted to be popular in the sense of people genuinely liked me, not popular in the sense that, like, I was known of and that's it, and people have opinions of you in, like, a way of, like, you have this label to, you're popular because you're part of, you're friends with certain people rather than because people genuinely like you. And so I feel like it was, like, break that helped me break out of thinking that I had to, like, act certain ways, that I had to please other people, because, like, in the sense of through being cool or not saying things because otherwise you'll sound silly, or through, do you know what I'm trying to say, like, constricting myself to not saying things in order to be cool, or to say certain things in order to be cool. And I feel like that built an confidence and, like, helped me feel like I could just be whoever I wanted to be and like my own person. And that was valid. And then also just, like, once I moved to that other school, I had, like, a really great drama teachers. And then that helped me fall in love. That helped me fall in love with, like, theater. And that, like, built so much of my confidence, because it's all about taking risks. It's all about creating a safe space so that you can make mistakes and then you just keep going. It's about thinking on your feet. It's about, like, you just, like, have to really push yourself. And through doing drama, it's like, if you have to do, like, improv, like, you're gonna feel the fear of putting yourself out there by saying something that just comes out of your mouth, and then get to experience the repercussions of that, and that it'll maybe be funny, or it'll go nowhere, or it'll just be like, oh, that was, like, strange. Let's continue. And then you realize it's, like, the stakes, unless you say something deeply offensive, which, like, don't do that. Just don't be a bad person.
Just don't do that.
Just don't do that. Or try. Let's get, anyway. Then you realize the stakes of doing something silly, like, whatever it is. Just life goes on, you know? I feel like that helped a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about you, Jojo Beans?
I mean, yeah, I feel like I was always, like, pretty timid when I was younger, and I feel like it stayed like that for a while. But I think something that, like, I think I, like, go back to is, like, because I lived overseas for a year when I was six, like, so when I was, like, just after I'd, like, started prep. So I'd, like, started school in Australia for, like, 9 months or something, and then went to Switzerland for a year where I, like, only spoke French. And when I came back, I actually didn't know how to speak English. And I remember distinctly like being so, not necessarily nervous, but I couldn't really communicate with the like peers at my school for like a couple of days. Like obviously it like came back to me pretty quickly. And I think there were like a few specific people, which like kind of took advantage of that. And I guess that kind of made me, I feel like I was like bullied a little bit in like primary school, where I was like always told what to do, and just like I feel like I found myself in this kind of like hole of just like trying to please other people, and like only doing things because like what other person says I can, and like I feel like in that sense I was kind of taken advantage of. So it was very hard to like break through that, and I feel like I eventually did and like found a like much better group of friends, but yeah, I think I always kind of kept that with me of just being like always wanting to like please people, and like yeah, being shy because of that reason. Like I didn't want to make anyone upset or let anyone down, or think anyone have me think that I was a mean person. I think that was like a huge like factor in me like being shy. But yeah, I feel like I even, brought that into high school, but I think I did become more comfortable just, like, with my friends. Like, because when I went to high school, I didn't know anyone from my primary school. So, like you said, it's kind of, like, a new start, which I was terrified about because that's not what I wanted, but, you know, you don't get to pick what high school you go to. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's interesting that you said that, like, good marks help you, because I feel like that's, like, oh, yeah, that's, I feel like that a little bit as well. I don't know if it, like, necessarily changed anything immediately, but it is, like, definitely a confidence booster when you, like, can achieve something. But I feel like that also plays into, in year 9 is when, I never did drama or anything like that, but as a class, but I did do the school production in year 9 and in year 11, which is like, so I did every 2 years. And oh my God, I feel like I found a zone and a space there. And I kind of like always like wish I like had done drama or like something like that to like bring that out of me, because I don't think I like realized I had. And I feel like even after meeting you and just like, and like, yeah, because I feel like once I got to uni is when I got to Monash. That's when I like really found my like space and my like people and like my confidence, and realized that I do like enjoy that kind of side of things. Like when you think of, not to like stereotype anyone, but like when you think of like people who study drama or like that kind of thing, you know, they're really confident. They love like quirky things and like, you know, the aren't kids. Afraid to like, yeah, do things. I think I kind of, which might surprise a lot of people, but I do see that like in my like core, like,
And I see it too.
I definitely like
a theater kid.
I wish I like had have like taken advantage of that. Like I wish I had really known that, because I did actually like thrive doing the school productions. Like I loved it so much. And like, cause obviously I was surrounded by people who liked that sort of thing as well. And cause unfortunately, like, our school was, like, in between, like, year levels, and, like, no one really mingled or talked or, like, even with that in our specific year level, like, we literally had groups. Like, it was that bad. So, yeah, it was really hard to, like, branch out. And I think, yeah, having the school productions was, like, a really great way of, like, breaking that down and just, like, having fun with whoever was around.
Yeah.
And obviously getting to sing and dance all the time, which is just so much fun.
Yes.
So yeah, I definitely do think that helped. I think for me, because I was very, very shy, it did take me a really long time to just like actually break out of like into like my confidence. Like I don't think doing drama like made me a confident person. But I think it made me realize how much I could, like what I had in me, and like that I like could be, I guess. But actually it's something that I think helped my confidence in just like speaking to people and like knowing my worth and like self was working in hospitality. I saw like a huge change in me, because that was like pretty much my first like proper job was when I was 17, and I worked at it was like a juice bar slash cafe slash ice cream bar, one of those ones. oh my God. When I started, I was so timid. And like the people there like told me that as well. And like it was like really shocking as well, because I felt like so embarrassed to be that person. I would like make a lot of mistakes. And I felt like such a burden to everyone there. But it made me like, I was like, I'm just going to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it like drove me to like prove myself, which I don't know if that's necessarily the best thing to think, but you know, I was 17. I felt like I had to prove myself.
Yeah.
So I tried to, and yeah, within a couple of months I had like worked my way up to like supervisor, and like had like really built my confidence and like
get it, girl.
Could work in that like fast environment. And then like for 3 years I was like running my own like team. So I think, yeah, just being put in that position of just like fear and like, yeah, dealing with customers and just having a boss to tell you what to do, I guess, as well. It's just,
yeah. Forces you to grow.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it did just like force me to like push myself. But yeah. And then when I started uni at Monash, and I feel like I found the people I like to be around that built my confidence up a lot, because I feel like I was able to find myself and be comfortable with myself and realize that, yeah, myself is my, who I am is valuable and like good.
Valid.
Yeah.
Valid.
So yeah. And that obviously like allows me to branch out, because I'm like, oh, well, if I'm with the people I admire and they are okay with how I am and who I am, then,
and they admire
fuck
you.
Fuck everyone else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Hey lovelies, Rochelle popping in here for this week's project of the week. Output were. Hell yeah. Our friend and friend of the podcast, Maggie Zhao, has recently teamed up with fellow young journalist and media slashy Jasmine Wallace to start their very own podcast, Culture Club. We wanted to give them an opportunity to tell you a little bit about it. So here's Jazz and Mags.
Hey, I'm Maggie.
And I'm Jasmine. We're the hosts of Culture Club, a weekly chat about pop culture, current affairs, the internet, and our lives by two 20-something media slashies.
We're only in our early days, but so far we've talked about our love of magazines, performative activism on Instagram, and classism in sustainable fashion.
If they're topics you're interested in, check us out on Instagram at Culture Club Pod for links on where you can listen. We also post memes and pretty pictures, which is a bonus.
And thank you to Rochelle and Joelle for giving us this little shout out. That's it.
They probably wanted me to cut that last part out. Maybe they didn't, but I didn't, because I thought it was cute. But anyway, seriously, go check them out. I really appreciate the research Jazz and Mags do on their topics and their journalistic take on things that I'm seeing, you know, all over social media. And I appreciate the way that they're able to dissect it, both factually and then also emotively. So they've got a couple episodes up already. Go check them out. Again, that's at Culture Club Pod on Instagram for all the links to where to find them. And also they're another podcast with club in the name. So, you know, do with that information what you will. All right, back to the episode.
I hope that was actually valuable, what I said.
No, it totally was. And I really resonate with that. Like, when I got my first retail job, I feel like I grew so much. Mm. Like, I was 18 and, I mean, I'm only 21 now, so you know. But yeah. It feels like it wasn't even
It's having responsibilities, I think, as well.
Yeah, and being forced to, like, work among, like, other people and, like, you have to, like, you get all kinds of customers. Like, you're going to have to talk to adults to, like, get over it. Yeah. And just being... Yeah, it again forces you to do all these things that are like drama skills, right? It's like think on your feet, communicate clearly, make eye contact with people when you're talking to them, be friendly, like be warm, like, you know, like it just forces you to like level up your interpersonal skills for sure. Yeah, which is like something that you like, I think once upon a time may have felt really, really difficult. And then you just force yourself to do it. You're like, okay, let's just like let's go, like you said, and then you do it and you're like, oh, it's actually okay, and I have this in me, and like I can do it, and I'm proud of myself for like getting there. Yeah, and I definitely agree with like coming to uni. I feel like already like going to uni I was like a like confident person by the time I arrived, but I think I could totally see just like creating that safe space of like kindness and acceptance allowed like a lot of people who in our group who are like more shy like yourself to really like blossom and feel like it's okay for them to like say what's on their mind and to, you know, like be themselves and enjoy what they enjoy. Yeah, which I think is a like really important. So yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah.
Wow, we're already at almost 40 minutes. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I guess we can just like jump into the last point.
Yeah,
totally. Which is, are we still shy? Rochelle, do you still consider, I mean, maybe you kind of cover this, but like in what ways do you think you're still shy, or do you think you like, what do you want to work on at the moment in terms of like your confidence?
Yeah, I mean, like I said in the beginning with the first question, like I don't consider myself to be a shy person, but I'm still like very shy in like a lot of areas. I think like for me, because I've excelled in like the academic world, I mean, I don't have any, like, that sounds like I've done something really great. It's like I just did well at school.
So can I see your PhD certificate?
Yeah, so hi, so here's my doctorate. It's just under this blanket right here. Here it is.
Just a big sheet of paper that just says doctorate.
Yeah. It's right here. Okay, so, no, this is my doctorate. Oh, you can't see it, it's blurred out. It looks like it's, like, censored, like it's something naughty. Okay, so, yeah, because of that, I feel like I'm never shy talking to teachers, talking to people who are my superiors and I consider to be adults. In the academic space, like going to uni, I wasn't shy to talk to like our tutors and that kind of stuff. And I recognized early on the value of creating like genuine relationships with your tutors, your teachers, your mentors, just in life, because they like, if you do that, they genuinely want to help you. So yeah, but then when it comes to like adults in any other context, I feel like I still really struggle with seeing myself as like able to communicate as equals, because I think I have a lot of like inbuilt, I don't know what the correct word for it would be, like, but just fear. Like I still very much see myself as a kid, like by calling other people adults, like I guess I'm considered an adult, but clearly I don't feel that way, or I don't go into situations as a gut reaction expecting to be treated as an adult. So, and I mean, part of that is like, because I feel like I look really young as well, which we mentioned on the very first episode of this podcast. Like, I remember this, like, situation. It was, like, when I first moved here. It's, like, I was at JB Hi-Fi. And then someone... this is so funny. Someone asked me... Someone who worked at JB asked, like, if I was all, like, taken care of. Like, as in, like, oh, are you all looked after in terms of service? But my first way of interpreting that was, like, thinking that I had someone looking after me. Like, did I have an adult that was looking after me? Like, where is your parent? Where is your adult? Where is your person? And that just really solidified in my mind. I was like, wow, I really view myself as a child, you know? And that's, like, less so now. You know, it's been a couple years, but I still very much feel that. So I think I've actually learned a lot from you, Joelle, being that are, yeah, a bit older than me. Just in the way you conduct yourself, I think for a variety of reasons, you've been forced to sort of conduct yourself as more of an adult and ask for things when you need something, you know, if you have a question, like, or you're looking for something in a store, go up to whoever, oh, let's just ask and see if they have it. I still have that fear of doing that. And I think it is like contextual. Like if I'm with someone who I know would be more afraid to do that than I would be, then I don't think I have an issue doing it. But if I'm with someone like you, who I know is more comfortable doing it than I am, I'd be more afraid to do it, which is really interesting. I think I still don't have that security in myself of feeling like that's something that is okay to do and I'll be fine and I'll get out on the other side having been helped. So there's really no bad way to go from here.
But then,
I think that's like the main way. And just like, I feel in a lot of ways that I'm not an adult, that I don't know how to do things for various reasons. So I think that makes me still very shy in a lot of ways.
Mm.
Yeah. What about you?
I actually like feel that when, I have no issue with like, talking to people that I like, especially if I know I'm not going to see them again. Not that I like, if I was going to see it again, it would bother me. But yeah, like if I go to shops and stores or if I have to like call people for bills or like anything like that, like I don't get as, I'm definitely much more confident than I used to be. Like I feel like I know that I'm like, like what I have to ask or is like valid and like allowed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like that, the situations don't really bother me. And like, I've actually found that when someone else doesn't want to do something, like it almost makes me want to not want to do it more, but I feel like responsible for doing it, so therefore I will like step up. And even when like people don't want, you know, when people are like, oh no, I don't want to call, or like even if you're just like ordering pizza and something, like
you'd be like, I'll like do it.
It just doesn't bother me at all. But yeah, I always feel like I'm like the opposite to you, because I feel like when I was just gonna say to that. Like, I feel like I'm pretty comfortable with, like, most of my tutors, but I feel like I wouldn't have been so if, like, you hadn't and, like, I hadn't, like, known that I could be. But at the same time, I still feel like there's a gap and, like, I'm still, like, nervous that they're going to, like, judge me, if that makes sense. Like, and because I value them so much. So I feel like it's with people that I, like, really respect and really look up to. And admire, I'm more likely to be more shy around if I don't know them that well. But then when I feel like I'm put in situations where it's like I'm getting a new job or like even when I started my internship, like I felt like when I had an interview, I like felt like quite confident and I felt like I could talk properly about what I needed to, if that makes sense. So I feel like I'm working on it, but if I believe in what I'm about to talk about, then obviously I'll be more confident. So if I feel like I'm backed up by what I'm saying, then I'm more confident. But if I was going for a job that I like didn't know anything about, then obviously I'd be more nervous. So I think that does play a big thing. It's just like knowing.
Totally. I feel like that plays into social situations as well. I feel like we're reverse, like, you have no issue doing all those things like calling up people you don't know and stuff, whereas that's what something I'm more shy to do. But then in terms of just like talking to people that would like become friends or like talking to people you don't know, it's like I think I'm more like I'm far less like I don't think I'm very shy in that regard at all.
Yeah, I 100% agree. So interesting. It's like we're meant for each other.
We're opposites. Opposites. We are like two little puzzle pieces and we just fit together so perfectly. I was also gonna say, just real quick, I know it's like 45 minutes now, but also just with like public speaking and stuff, I feel like that's like a big thing that most people are like shy about. And I like once upon a time, I was like really scared of public speaking, but then now I'm not, and that's because of like my experiences like in theater. Like I view just like any public speaking thing as like a performance, and like it doesn't faze me at all. Like I'm not ever like scared to do public speaking, I feel like. But then I know a lot of people who are extroverted who do fear public speaking, because I feel like it's like shyness. Wait, what'd you say?
I said I do.
Yeah, and like Nav, for example, he's very extroverted, but like he does not want to do a speech. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I feel like I've never heard him public speak.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, right? It's like an experience thing. It's what you know. It's like if you know that you'll be okay and that you can do it well.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm definitely more, like, yeah, confident. Like, especially noticed through uni, like, I would be more confident talking about the things that I, like, had properly researched. And, like, because I feel like the only time we really did public speaking at uni was when you did, like, a presentation. But even then, I still one of those people that, like, I'm like, I've done everything I need to do. I've, like, learnt everything. And then I get up there and I just, like, crack, you know what I mean? Like, my voice trembles and, like, my heart's beating. Mm. Like, that still happens to me. And I still get really nervous sometimes before we start recording this podcast. Like, I just, I'm not a very articulate person. So I, especially when I start speaking really randomly, I, like, freak out. And I feel like that causes me to and just speak worse. Oh my god, I can't even speak today.
Did it just happen?
I'm hosting a podcast. Like, literally, ask me and I don't have an answer for you. I love it though. I do. So that's why I do it. But
we said this at the beginning, we'll say it now. This podcast is just proof anyone can have a podcast.
Yeah, but I feel like you can speak and stuff.
Yeah, sometimes I can speak and stuff. It depends. I mean, like, I feel that too. It's like, yeah, sometimes we'll be recording and then you just notice you've said something. You're like, that's not how I wanted to say that. And you just begin. Yeah.
Well, that's like, part of why I'm shy as well is because I know sometimes I'm like, I have something valuable to say, but I just can't get it out and I can't articulate it. And it's like, it's so frustrating.
But then I think if you look at like our like Reflex the Game episode, like that was with friends. And I think in that context, it's like you were really articulate. I think it's like you feel that you can speak to things in certain settings. And I think when we're in like group things, because you have the desire to facilitate a discussion, I find like you word things like really well. And I think it's just when we're on the podcast, it's like that fear that you're not doing it. So then you like lose what you're like trying to say and then you just freak out. Like I get that all the time.
That happens to me all the time where I completely, like my mind will just sometimes completely go blank and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to say. Let's start again. Like just right now, I was literally about to say something.
Same.
Interesting you talk about that podcast because I feel like in those kind of situations, once I have had more time to think about what I'm going to say, I feel like I can collect my information and have it ready because like other people are speaking. I feel like here it's like I feel like I have to speak quite on the spot. Like obviously you speak too, but I do feel like it's more like I have to be ready with things to say. And I think it's that idea that I have to be ready that and pressure. Have to say something valuable and good that does like make me nervous and kind of makes me blank out a bit.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And it's like once you heard, especially in those kind of situations when you're talking about a topic, once you've heard other people's point of views, like, it will inform yours and you'll think about, like, because everyone thinks about things in different ways, so you'll be able to, like, not necessarily change your view, but, like, just formulate what you're thinking by hearing other people's thoughts on a topic.
Totally, totally.
Yeah, are there any other things you want to mention before we wrap up this podcast?
No, I think we covered it. I mean, we probably didn't cover all of it, but that's why we have you all.
Yeah. Oh, what should our question of the week be?
Ooh, consider yourself to be shy?
How have you built confidence in the past? Or like,
yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like it's something to do with like working out of it. Again, not that you have to be something to do with working out. So how are you exercising? What's your favorite what's your preferred weight of dumbbell? No, like not that you have to not be a shy person, but like what is something that, yeah, like you said, that's helped you build your confidence?
Yeah, amazing. Can't wait to hear everyone's suggestions. Let's jump into our random recommendations. Before we leave, Rochelle, what is your assorted recommendation for this week? So something you think that the lovely listeners would enjoy listening to, reading, watching, tasting, doing.
Okay, so first of all, I just like how this episode, I was saying like, oh, I still feel like a kid, and like I expect people to treat me like a kid, and like I want to move like away from that. And then I'm like holding a soft, like my soft toy teddy bear, and then I was just playing with a crayon. So
I feel like that's kind of breaking down the ideologies of like what a kid is, and like,
yeah,
still
and
allowing yourself
adult?
To be youthful and like, you know,
true. Exactly. No matter
like
what age,
you can still
age,
be an adult and just have a bit of fun.
Exactly. That's so true. So my random recommendation for this week, one is just the fact that throughout this episode, sometimes Joelle's pillow comes unblurred on her
Which
shoulder.
Which one, that one?
Yeah, just like that. and it's a bit of great funky fun. My second random recommendation for this week is Orphan Black. I think I've mentioned this show on the podcast before, but I'm currently rewatching it with Nav, and he's watching it for the first time. We talked about it with Jodie, yes, because Jodie and I were watching it. Yeah, we watched it together for the longest time, but I didn't end up seeing the end of the series. So I want to rewatch through it so that I can see how it ends. It's a great show, Canadian TV show. It's great because it's a show that was made for TV, not for like online streaming. It's just like the way that they construct like the beats of the episode. It's so like dramatic and intense, and it's great. But it's also the plot's really good, and it's nice to view it again with fresh eyes and see what it was all about. So that's my Ricky Rec. What about you, Jojo Beans?
Mine is Clothing the Gaps. This is actually from, forgot to mention it. I should have like mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. But because they had for NAIDOC week, they had a charity run basically where you could, or like, it, no, it was a NAIDOC march. That's what it was called. Sorry. So basically in order to like raise money for Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander like communities, it was supposed to be like an actual run, but obviously with the state of the pandemic, it was kind of like virtual. So, but I wanted to mention it cause I had a look this morning, and it was on the 12th, I think, of July, but it's still, you can still participate online, like if you want to, if you like walking and like running, there's still like process of doing it is still available, if that makes sense. I don't know how to like word that properly.
Right.
But like you can still sign up for it and complete the march/run. So you can do like, cool. You can just like walk 3K or run 3K, same for 5K and 10K and maybe 15K. Not sure if there's an extra one, but I'll leave the links in the down below. But yeah, because I did the 5K one a couple of weeks ago, and like they send you like a medal as well. And then that's a good way of just like contributing to Indigenous Australian communities. And yeah, I think it was a nice thing to do while being in self-isolation, because it's a good way to just like get outside as well and get a bit of exercise in.
Yeah, nice.
And yeah,
Do you know if it'll still be like available when this goes up? I think it's an ongoing thing they're doing, right? Run Rona.
Yeah, I don't know why they would take it down. If you know what I mean, like
yeah.
But if they have to take it down, still go check them out, because especially on their Instagram, they're really good like resources just for like understanding the history of Australia. And they started the movement like Free the Flag. And because if you didn't know, the Aboriginal flag is owned by white people.
There's this clothing company that's copyrighted it.
Yeah, they've copyrighted it. So Aboriginal people aren't actually allowed to use it freely, or like use it to sell merchandise and anything that they might want to do with it, which is just disgusting and terrible.
So disgusting.
And I can't believe it's like still going. So yeah, you can go to their resources and stuff to like sign petitions and just understand what's going on as well. And for any other resources, they're really great as well.
And buy their clothing. They're like
a clothing
company.
Yeah, and
their
clothing. They have awesome clothing. Yes. So yeah, they've kind of found ways around using the flag and representing the flag for while they don't have rights to it, so that they can still, you know, have a business and like thrive, which they're doing because they're doing awesome things.
Yeah, they're amazing.
But yeah, definitely go support them. They have really, their like t-shirts are really beautiful as well.
Mm-hmm. And they have really, really nice jumpers right now.
Yes, they're like
so lovely.
They're like rugby style jumper. It's like, yeah, like quarter zip.
And they have some designs with like the always was, always will be.
Yeah, that Carla drew.
Text that, yeah, Carla drew, which is awesome.
Cool. So with that, I'll be signing out of the chat room for now, but you can find me on Instagram as well with dots.
And I'll be also signing out of the chat room for now, but you can find me on Instagram at The Rochelle Fish.
And you can find us together at club.scene.
At club.scene.
And any of the links can be found through there or through our website. If you enjoyed this episode, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and make sure you're subscribed or following Club Scene Chat Room on whatever podcast app you prefer. Also, just recommending Club Scene Chat Room to a friend or someone you think you would enjoy this conversation would help us so much. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Love you all.
Love you so much. See you soon.
See you soon.
Oh, I've never started. Okay. All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Club Scene Chat Room, the podcast by two creatives that has nothing to do with the clubbing or party. Oh, I'm going to start again.
That has nothing to do with the clubbing.
Party. I always say that the clubbing or violent kind, the clubbing or party kind. Hey everyone, welcome back to Club Scene Chat Room, the podcast by two creatives that has nothing to do with the clubbing of the violent or party kind. You I'm Joelle, but today I'll be entering the chat room. Sorry.
You said the clubbing again?
Oh, did I? Sorry.
Okay. Go ahead.